What's up? Welcome to a special brief episode of Movie Schmovie. This is one of our 0.5 episodes in between our standard Friday release. My name's Steve. I'm one of the co-hosts of the show. And as always, I'm joined by
Ron
and John.
And hundreds of beavers, I guess, will be our special guests on the show today. We got access to to be able to see a film that's coming out today, actually, on Apple TV and Prime Video, if you want to check it out there. But it's a film called Hundreds of Beavers. We get access sometimes in emails about movies from a PR company that a lot of independent films use to promote the titles of a lot of these movies that, I don't know, a lot of people never hear about. This was one that had seen a few people that I trust and follow on the Twitters and the everywhere else, I guess, online, that, you know, people have been mentioning. They saw it at Fantastic Fest and just had a lot of good things to say about it. But when it came across, I spoke with them and got us access to be able to see it. And, you know, we will try to do some our best to support an independent release like this, especially because it's got some unique release strategy where it comes out today, like I said, on Apple TV and on Prime Video. And then on Friday, it comes out as a streaming exclusive. If you've ever heard of Fandor, you can look this film up there. But again, this movie is called Hundreds of Beavers.
I looked it up. Comedy. I thought it was a vampire when you said Fandor. It sounded like a vampire to me.
I mean, it could. Maybe we need to pursue that as a little side hustle for Schmovie Studios. But I don't, had either of you heard of this movie before? Had you seen it online a couple of times?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, okay. So it kind of got into your feed, John, right? Like, I guess people have been talking about it.
Same thing. Saw it, I guess, on a couple of film review sites or something come up. The artwork looks like it's a real kind of throwback artwork to almost like it's a hand-drawn cartoon poster, but it's done in this really like lush classic style that kind of reminds me of like a Mad Magazine cover or something like that.
Right.
But a lot of 80s comedies used that sort of style. So in that sense, I had to kind of figure out what it was. And it's one of those things where I didn't get a clear idea of what it was from anything I read about it.
Right.
And then I saw, I don't know, if did it screen here in Baltimore? Because I saw some friends that must have seen it somewhere locally that... Maybe it was at the Alamo Draft House or something. Anyway, I know some people that went to see it and posted a picture of themselves and like linked out maybe to somebody associated with the film or just somebody that they knew that was, it was Skiz Cizik. You guys know him, the local filmmaker. He had seen it and posted about it. So that kind of counts as like a festival person. He's sort of a guy who sees a lot of stuff early because of his, he's always involved in festivals and screenings and stuff. So that was sort of another little thing when he said, oh, this was great. And it was I saw a couple other people that were part of that saying this movie was really funny or whatever. And that's when that thing started seeping into my feed of just, this is a lot of gags, like a pure comedy. I still didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't read about it. I'm to the point where if I know I'm going to read a book, I don't read the flap, you know? And if I know I'm going to watch a movie, I don't read the description. So I had no idea that this was kind of a silent film or that it was going to be black and white the whole time or whatever. I just knew that it was a really creative use of low to no budget techniques that people were responding to really well. What about you, Ronald? You said you didn't know about it before. What did you think when you laid your eyes on Hundreds of Beavers?
I like this style of like slapsticky stuff. Like, So, you know, Tom and Jerry, Ren and Stimpy. There was like Disney made like a bootleg version of Ren and Stimpy that also existed in the ether. I'll find out the name of that. It's called like Meathead and something. But there were all these like slapsticky kind of things that existed. So, one thing I was holding on to was, how can I watch 90 minutes of this? I get it. I'm in for it. That's not what it is. Can it sustain itself for 90 minutes? And I'm going to give it a maybe. I think so. I think it did what it was supposed to do. And you saw this evolution of this man in the wilderness who took all of his mistakes and turn them into, you know, strengths, which is something that we all want to do, right? We want to take our weaknesses, our losses, and come back. And we start to root for this guy who is beating the stuffing out of various animals.
Well, so I think that, okay, so we should talk a little bit about it. It is like, it's made to look, it's made, it doesn't really pretend it's made in the 20s or something.
Right.
But
right,
but it
right.
does have like a lot of signifiers of that. But it also has elements of like a modern kind of, not even modern, like almost old school video editing techniques and like video compositing techniques and stuff. So it's like, it's trying to create its own reality, but it's also putting itself in a kind of reality. When you call it like a cartoon reality, that's pretty accurate. But the look of it is like not meant to look 100% real, but it is consistent. And by the time it kind of builds up, little things like the holes that keep showing up in the ground and kind of thing, they just start to, or whenever you have a digitally replicated character, like when we have a, you know, 100 beavers, but you know, it's probably 3 or 4 people that are just replicated, those elements become like one of the gags. Like one of the things that made me laugh was when the way he climbs a tree and it cuts to that side view and he just does this silly move and just kind of scoots up the tree. Those types of things were like, there was so much cleverness built into it. I know what you mean, Ronald. It moves at such a clip. Honestly, that's why at 15 minutes, you're like, there's more. There's so much to this, but it does evolve. And I think that like the actual story of where it goes and some of the things that happen are very strange and unusual. And some of them are almost horrific. And I don't know, they get around the whole horror of killing and skinning animals by virtue of it being basically like cosplayers. But it's it's a guy like who's like a would-be trapper who's trying to impress the trapper or the guy who's a trader. He's where he's getting goods from. And so he's bringing more and more dead animals for their, you know, their pelts to this place to get goods. And the daughter of the trader he's got a romance going with her.
Got to impress.
And that's like the whole thing. And it does get repetitive, but within that repetition, there are these little isolated, almost episodic. It's not like The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, but it almost has that kind of structure of like, well, here is a larger story with these characters in it, but then here's the sort of other adventures of this character. And they really do develop everything. And I will give them credit too for being unconventional in their rhythms and style. When the credits come up, it's like 30 minutes into the movie or something. And then when the actual title comes up, it's even further into the movie. And you don't even think you're waiting for that. I thought those little stylistic touches showed that there's clearly a lot of thought going into all of those aspects to make something that really is a different kind of experience than you've had before. I would imagine most people who see this movie probably haven't seen a lot of movies like it.
No. And I think that's something it probably has in its favor, is that like if somebody's willing to give it a shot, you know, for a movie that I think I read that it was estimated to be around $150,000 was the budget. I mean, it's kind of crazy what they were able to accomplish. And like you kind of got it, John, a little bit with, you know, I think what makes a move at a clip or is so efficient, you know, even at an hour and 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that like it does so clearly and like creatively find a way to up the ante as it goes along, which is like all the best, like Roadrunner and Coyotes, you know, cartoons, like anything you would want to compare this to. Did
Buster Keaton is another big thing I kept thinking about, you know,
anything like that. Yeah, totally accurate. And I think there's also like I'm not even a much of a gamer, but there's like a lot of like video game logic even in the movie too.
Oh, tons even the sound effects and the visuals of the way it's done, the bloop, 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 when he's like bringing
the
pelts in.
So it's like you're almost along for an autopilot video game. It's like a side scroll, but just straight on kind of thing. Like what's going to happen next. But you know, there was a moment like about 30 minutes in when I was like, wow, can this, like Rana was saying, like, can it really get to an hour and a half? And I was kind of surprised how into the movie I was all the way through, honestly. And I mean, even just like how the main character evolves through the movie, like physically, emotionally, like his aggression and all these things, like it's so dynamic and it's like kind of wild what they were able to achieve with, I mean, what in essence is like, there's 3 real characters, I guess, but like a bunch of animals, you know, people in costumes.
Okay. So like do beavers eat shit and I just don't know it? Like I was really wondering about the fact that the bait that they put out for the beavers is basically shit, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I looked and I couldn't find it. Like, you know, I actually typed. It's so funny to see in your own Google. Do beavers eat shit? And what I found was that beavers are supposedly very clean animals, but then some people say they're filthy, but maybe it's people who just have a community where they're seeing beavers like dam up their rivers and they just look muddy or something. But it made it sound like beavers are dangerous if you corner them. But also, the raccoons, I don't think necessarily eat rabbits. Maybe they do. I just think like this movie creates its own rules about a lot of things. And I thought some of the visual language was funny, like the chewed up rabbit's feet that were left behind. Like, why is that the only animal that we see the feet left behind for? But that that was kind of funny.
But it's lucky, right?
You're right. And also, you talk about the evolution of the guy. I actually felt a personal evolution in my appreciation of the guy, because at the very beginning, it was part of that, how can this be an hour and 48 minutes long? It feels like a you know, a short. It feels like a 2-minute video or something when you're watching it. And the guy seemed so modern to me. And even when he was like shirtless and he's kind of strapping, I was like, well, he doesn't seem to me like Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin. I was like, so I thought he seemed kind of modern, and it took me a minute for his physicality to be funny. And at the very beginning, I was like, oh, the guy's good, but I don't know that he's a physical comedian. And by the time it was like halfway in, I was really feeling like his physicality was unique and funny. And it's kind of what you said, Steve. Maybe he becomes more exaggerated. Maybe he settles into it as the movie goes along, and that's deliberate. Maybe I just was getting used to, you know, they say a almost experimental film like this, they kind of teach you how to watch them. You have to, there's a 10 or 15 minute buy-in period that this movie has to get you through before you really recognize what it is you're seeing. And I kind of appreciated the patience. Like, they don't rush into him meeting the traitor and the traitor's daughter. That takes a little while to get to. And you might say, Ronald, that might be part of the kind of repetition that makes you wonder if you're going to hang in there for it. But I think that might be part of the experiment. It's just, it's so hyper, and it just never leaves you alone for the entire runtime. Like, you have to kind of pay attention. I do find it like exhausting in a really fun way. I was very exhausted at the end of it, but maybe it's just because I was watching that poor guy run around and climb trees, and he was exhausted.
It's pretty patient about the pacing, which I thought was really cool. Like he'll come up with a new idea, and then he'll do it wrong. And then he's like, shoot, why am I doing this? Why is this upside down? Why am I trying to do this upside down? I'm not thinking about this the right way. And then he'll turn it the right way. But then he pushes it too far. And then he's like, okay, all right, I think I have this kind of right. And then it's like this, you're right. This, it has a language. And I felt the same way. Like, you know, I mean, maybe this is because like I didn't grow up muscular. I have an aversion to muscular people in normal situations. And sometimes I could be like, I don't want to see this guy. He's too perfect. You know?
Especially in a comedy. But you're not supposed to have, you're supposed to have a schlub.
this guy looks like an MMA fighter. And then he really is very funny. Like his reaction, you know, his hurt is our hurt, you know? And he gets hurt in weird times. Like,
and in weird ways.
There's a rhythm to it. Like, he puts he might put his feet in the snow for 10 minutes and nothing happens. And then he'll do a trap and it fails. And then he's like, ah, and then he puts his foot up. You're like, oh God, that thing that hurts him on occasion.
Yeah.
It really does have a rhythm to it that, and then once it throws you off, it really is funny. It's really rewarding. So.
Well, I mean, and there are some running gags that just evolve. Like, the guy keeps missing the spittoon with his tobacco, and you wonder how that's going to end. Each time it's different. Like, and I stuff like that is funny. Because you start, it's Sideshow Bob stepping on the rakes. It breaks through from being funny to not being funny to being funnier because it wasn't funny, and now it's funny again, and then it's just silly. But I think that there were so many like iterations of jokes. There was some, and that's where like that creative spirit we're talking about comes in, where there's so many like, and maybe you would say, they didn't need to do all 9 versions of the gag, but they come up with a gag and then they come up with 9, like, you know, you're talking about him trying the same thing again and again, or different variations. Some of the rhythms of those scenes where like they start off with all the pack dogs, and then like they, every night the wolves are coming in and killing one of the dogs, but like the visual repetition, I mean, that sounds horrible. It sounds horrible what I'm describing, the violence of it, but it's actually funny. Because it's dopey people wearing, you know, like costumes, like cosplayer type costumes. So it's like, it's got so many things figured out and so many things that are weird and specific to it that you almost didn't know. There's a moment later where a character seems to come back from the dead, and I believed fully I was watching some kind of supernatural element get introduced into this thing. And then what actually is going on is weirder and more disgusting, but also like perfectly fits this crazy movie. So how many beavers were there actually? 274? Or I can't remember what the final number was, but there were hundreds, almost three. Can you hear him, Ronald?
No, I can't hear you, Steve.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
This cable came loose. I'll say, I think it just kept going at the end, like when they're like kissing or making out, like it's yeah. just, you could see the counter in the background just like rolling up and going up. I was saying, like, you know, I'm mad at you, John, because you probably messed up my Google algorithm, because just now I'm getting all these things about beavers eating poop, but. it looks like it's a thing, man. Rabbits, rodents, beavers, they eat their poop. They reingest it to gain more nutrients from it. Mm. Oh, God, they did their research.
They did, but they didn't explain it. It's just that's the kind of brilliance.
They left that for us to go and Google, yeah, right. John.
Yep. They,
intentionally wanted to screw all of our algorithms up, because now I want to see mammal ads, nature guy. You know, it's all screwed up now. But yeah. Just a quick little review for this movie. Again, just want to give it some attention. It comes out today. Again, Apple TV Prime Video, if you want to rent it digitally or purchase it digitally. It'll be out Friday on Fandor. If you want a streaming option, I've never used Fandor. I don't think any of us have, but it's a streaming platform for independent film. So it makes, you know, total sense. But thank you for letting us check out this film. And well, to the publicity company, I think it was... Very appreciate it. That'll be it for this one. Moviesmovie.com is the website. Go there. Review. Subscribe. Do it all. YouTube.com/moviesmoviepod. If you want to watch the video element. Or option, rather. Element, option. Subscribe. Hit the bell. Get the
Elem option.
Elem option. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. And we will be back in like a week and a half or so with a new full episode. But until then, we'll see you. And as always, you made our day. Thanks.
Bye.